Brought to you by Hyundai. Experience the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Welcome. You're listening to the official Lost podcast hosted by ABC.com. In just a few minutes, we'll be bringing you more of executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse for their penultimate podcast this mini-season. They'll be rehashing this last Wednesday's epic episode, The Cost of Living, in which we lost another major character on the island, an actor whose name I love to pronounce, Adewale Akinoye Agbaje, a.k.a. Mr. Echo. They'll be talking about that, as well as taking your fan questions and previewing this week's episode, I Do, which airs Wednesday, November 8th from 9 to 10 p.m. on ABC. Here now are the masters of, well, Lost.
Hello, and welcome to yet another Lost podcast.
Wow, that's a very...
I am Carlton Cuse, and I'm sitting here with Damon Lindelof.
I like it's a very sort of masterpiece, theatery, sort of stentorian tone you have going on there.
Let's refer to this as our PBS podcast.
Wow, so everyone will just tune out immediately in favor of watching animals attack each other on Fox. Or
yes, indeed.
Wonderful. Hello, Carlton.
Hello. Hello, Damon. I'm good today. How are you?
I'm good. This is, I guess, really our penultimate podcast.
Yeah, not the ultimate podcast.
Which is a fancy way of saying second to last.
That's right. You know, a lot of people mistake penultimate for ultimate.
I am one of those people. Not anymore, though. Okay, well, obviously there's a lot of rehashing to do because somebody's dead.
Yes, that's a big event on Lost.
Oh, Lost? Why? You're talking about Lost. Oh. Well, yes, why? That too. But
Why Echo? I mean, good God, I thought it was going to be one of those red shirts like the Brazilian dude. What's his name?
Paulo?
Yeah, or the...
Nikki?
Nikki, the other chick. Yeah.
I think that is a, you know, obviously...
It's kind of like Star Trek, right?
Knowing that this is actually sort of a cool window into the behind-the-scenes producerial function of Lost, because we knew that ABC would not be able to resist running promos saying someone is going to die this week. It's a sweeps episode. We're only doing 6 episodes. Everybody's worried about the ratings this year. So it's like, we knew that they were going to go, someone is going to die. So we introduced these two characters, Paulo and Nikki, at the end of the Locke episode, who were just sort of there all along. So when they volunteer to go on this trek,
you think dead.
You're like, oh.
They're dead.
These people are the ones who are going to die.
So dead.
And that is so lame because we don't even know them. We've never seen them before. They're going along on this track, and ABC is going to completely sell us a false bill of goods. This is the someone who's going to die.
But no, instead you kill the beloved
Mr. Echo. And we let
what
Nikki
are you guys
Paulo
thinking
live.
About?
What am I thinking about?
That would be the question they would be asking us.
Yeah,
what are you guys thinking?
We're obviously
about?
Recording this podcast before we've actually sort of gotten the full-on sort of response to this episode, but I can only assume people are going to be very angry.
They're going to be a lot angrier than I'm pretending to be.
Yes.
They're going to be more like, why did you kill Echo?
That's good. Carlton is gritting his teeth and
that's good.
Pounding his chest.
This is why I don't act in front of the camera.
Well, Carlton, anymore. Why did you kill Echo? America wants to know.
Well, you know, we actually killed Mr. Echo because we had made a deal with Adewale, the actor, that we would only have him on the show for somewhere around a year. And when we went into this and when we hired him on the show, we all sat down and he wanted to come do Lost, but he didn't want to commit to be on the show for a long term. So we always knew that he would have a short, really great, but... an arc, but one that would come to an end sooner probably than people wanted it to.
That story, if it's sounding familiar to the Anna Lucia story that we told last year, that's because, in fact, it is the same story. And obviously, we cast Michelle Rodriguez well before Adewale because she actually appeared in the finale of season one. But when Adewale came on for season two, we expressed concern in only having a year-long arc because we already had a deal in place for Michelle Rodriguez to do the same and basically asked him, it would be great if we could not kill you in season two, but roll you into season three.
Yeah, we felt like it would be too much tonnage to have those two deaths come so close together. And you know, because we had only 1 year deals with each of them, we wanted to expand out the time between the deaths in order to really sort of finish Echo's story off and make it separate from Anna Lucia's death. And, you know, with the finale, there really wasn't time to do that in season two.
So the Tailies really just have terrible luck is really what it all boils down to.
The Tailies
are not
good.
Better watch his back.
Bernard. Well, you know, there still are some other Tailies alive. We just don't know where they are.
Sure, that's true.
Cindy, the flight attendant.
Yeah, Cindy.
The kids.
The
Emma
kids.
And Zach.
Absolutely.
Got taken off the beach.
And many others.
You might assume that
there were 23 of them that survived initially.
Right. So they could be dead or they could be living with the others.
Well, great. So we'll just find those people and then they get to get killed too. I mean, really, why bother if you were in the back of the plane?
This is a depressing show.
It is.
Why does anyone watch?
I've been asking myself that question for over 2 years now. So let's just talk about Echo's death itself in terms of the show. What if anything is the relevance of Yemi's body being gone from the plane? We know that he burned it there in the 23rd Psalm last year. Now the body's MIA, not unlike Christian Shepherd's body. Secondly, you know, Yemi says something very interesting before he goes wandering off into the jungle and Echo goes chasing after him and only to be bonked into trees repeatedly by the smoke monster. And what is it that he says, Carlton?
He says,
you speak to me
as if I am your brother.
And what is that inferring?
That might be inferring or implying that.
Which I always confuse those two. It's like ultimate and penultimate.
I think it might be implying that he is not.
Yeah, what does
Yemi
mean?
His brother.
So if he's not his brother, then who is he?
Well, then he might be a manifestation that the island has generated. Perhaps a incarnation of the monster?
That's interesting.
I would assume that's
some sort of theory that people are tossing around. Yeah. There are several manifestations in that episode, and all of them seem to have come from Echo's memory. So could one also assume that when they last faced off and all those flashes were happening in the monster cloud, that it was sort of downloading information that it might want to use at a future date?
That's right. It could have been. And in fact,
that future date would be?
Well, this episode.
Right. So
that would pretty much be it.
Yeah, got it all.
Echo's dead.
He is.
And until the zombie season, he won't be back.
Wow. That's a bold statement.
And, of course, in the sort of meta level, you know, the significance of the last line of the show. Well, what's the last line that... I like this.
We're quizzing each other just to see if we actually watch the show.
Yeah.
Yes. I believe the last line of the show is, we're next.
Right. So what does that mean?
Which actually, you know, kicked off a very interesting and fun conversation in the writer's room, because when we first said that's what's going to be the last line is like, well, but did Echo say we're next? And he said, no. Echo says to Locke, he whispers, you're next. But then Locke sort of interprets it, we're next.
Because if he said you're next, then he would just mean it.
Yeah, then Locke would look up at Saeed and say,
why me?
He said, you're next. And Saeed would say, you mean me? And he goes, no. He said, you're next, as in the global you're.
As in we're next.
But that would not have had the same impact as...
It would somehow have been rather confusing morass.
So,
but it does imply that the other castaways may perhaps face a similar fate to Echo. Does it mean that everyone on this island is destined to be judged?
But I would say that Echo sort of dies on his own terms. You know, the island is asking him for a confession or whatever is taking the form of these ghosts. And he basically, you know, he says, I'm not going to confess. I live life on my own terms and I did everything that I could to survive. And, you know, I made mistakes in my life, but I'm not going to apologize for those. And then the monster kills him. But he actually seems sort of happy when he dies, sort of blissed out. You know, he has this image of he and his brother walking off into the sunshine. So when he says, you're next, you're next, does that mean you might be so lucky?
He says, we're next.
You know, I now don't have to get up in the island anymore and go to the bathroom in a hole and eat fruit. And, you know, I get to move on and ascend.
But he's dead.
Well, maybe being dead isn't the worst thing in the world.
You're kind of a little bit Buddhist today, aren't you?
I am. It might have something to do with the fact that I'm wearing a robe and no pants.
There we go again. Exactly. You can't do these podcasts in pants, can you? It just isn't possible.
I can't.
Just pantyhose.
Why would I? Another relevant story move in this past week's episode is that Ben comes to Jack and basically says, yes, the x-ray that you saw was in fact mine. I've got a tumor, and I'd like you to take it out.
And Jack says, that'll be $8,500.
No, I don't think... That was the first draft.
Oh, yeah. We took that out.
I think he just sort
of... There's really no Blue Cross on the island.
There isn't. There's not good health insurance. I think Jack is just going to think about it. He's going to, for a while, until next week's episode, which we're sort of inherently pre-hashing now.
Right.
But I think the more sort of significant development is, what was all that with Juliet and the TV? I mean...
It's kind of interesting. I mean, what is her agenda? I mean, she obviously doesn't... She's not necessarily a fully indoctrinated other, is she?
She's obviously a Bob Dylan fan, too, because
yeah.
in that video where he stands there with the cards and there's all those words on him, maybe that's what inspired her to do that.
Why not?
That
was a Why very not cagey, steal from the best?
It's a very cagey maneuver. So she wants Jack, presumably, to let Ben die.
That's right.
So
what's he going to do?
I don't know. I mean, I would watch the episode next week to find out.
Yeah, that could be good.
It could be.
Yeah.
But it might not be. It could be absolutely terrible.
I think we actually think it's a good episode. So.
It is. In the wheelhouse of episodes.
It's actually one of our better episodes.
Look, the reality is at the end of it, people are going to
think it's our best episode.
Some people have said that it's our best episode ever.
Yeah.
Namely, Carlton's mother.
My mother. My mother loves this episode, even though she hasn't seen it.
She can sense it. But people will inevitably want to throw rocks at us when the episode ends, because they're going to have to wait 13 whole weeks. You know,
totally
I will remind you that there were 2.5 years between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
It doesn't sound like you're reminding them. It sounds like you're chiding them.
Well, I'm just...
Why don't you just change your tone and be a little kinder to those people who don't get to have Lost for 13 weeks? Why don't you just be a little nicer?
I'm sorry, I am chiding you. I will stop chiding.
But the Star Wars fans had to wait 2.5 years.
That's right.
And so we're not making you wait that long.
Yeah, you only have to wait for 13 weeks. And Daybreak is awesome, so check
That's
it
right.
out.
Absolutely.
We're not doing a Daybreak podcast, but it's...
We could, however. That might be good. We could just sort of comment on Daybreak.
And what's great about Daybreak is it's a 13-week commitment. It's not like, it's not like these big, crazy serialized shows that require, you know, you getting on the internet and blogging, listen to podcasts, and, you know, they're set on an island, and they completely consume your life.
Exactly.
And it's just 13 weeks, Daybreak. Check it out.
Awesome. So should we get to some questions? I mean, because
yes.
that's really what people want to hear.
They certainly don't want to hear this.
Yes. You keep your
Carlton, why don't you go first?
I would love to go first, Damon. And this question is entitled Broadway Bound, and it's by Zardingus.
Wait, it's by who?
Czardingus.
I want to hear you say it again.
Zardingus.
Okay.
How do you even think of that name? That's awesome.
What if that's his name?
Well, it could be. His name could be like Eddie Zardingus.
Yeah, it could be. Or it could be Zardingus, you know, Goldsmith.
That's true.
It could be his first name.
Yeah. Do you think he would just go by Czar or Dingus for short?
I think he'd probably not go by Dingus for short, but that's just a hunch.
I would like actually to be referred to as Czar. I mean, I'm Russian in origin,
so. Therefore, I will refer to you as Dingus.
So, Damon, I've heard rumors that your podcast is being adapted for the Broadway stage with Ted Danson and Matthew Broderick set to play you guys. Any
Genius.
Truth?
Wow. I don't even know how that got out. We're in very preliminary discussions.
Ted Danson is in, but Matthew Broderick is holding out.
Well, he's a big, you know, Broderick has got the Broadway cred, and everybody knows that, you know, the more challenging...
Will he sing your part?
I certainly hope he would not. I like
that
to sing my part all the time, though.
Exactly. That would be good. I think that's good casting.
I would...
That's good stuff.
I think that if such a show were produced, never in the history of the Broadway stage would such a flop exist that before or since. I couldn't think of a worse idea than our podcast.
Spoil sport.
I'm just saying. Two questions here. One is from Area LC 8390. The other from Tally's Fan. Both of them asking roughly the same question. Area says, when are we going to see an explanation for why the others take the children and other people and what happened to them? Tally's Fan asks, how come the kidnapped Tallys haven't surfaced? What happened to Cindy and the kids? That's bugged me ever since episode 7 of season 2.
Well, I think those are fair questions, Damon. And
that's why I asked.
And now I'm going to, as you requested, be serious. So, yes, in fact, we will be
answering
that question.
Wait, take off that funny hat first.
But it was Halloween last night. Yes. We will be seeing them.
We'll be seeing the kids.
Cindy and the kids. And the kids.
And we'll be finding out what the others are doing with the children?
Well, we'll learn more about that, absolutely.
How long do I have to wait for that?
13 weeks.
So at you're least. Gonna, right out of the gate, you're gonna be. We're going to be getting to that.
No, not right out of the gate, but
probably like
right
a week right after
pretty,
the gate.
Pretty quick. Pretty
somewhere
quick.
In the wheelhouse yeah. of episode 8.
8, yeah.
Wow.
You'll be getting that information.
That's almost worth not completely giving up on the show, which is a threat we get almost daily.
Exactly.
It's literally like, I'm going to give up on the show if you don't do this. Awesome. Wow. No pressure.
All right. I guess it's my turn, isn't it?
It is.
All right. Well, I would like to know, Damon, and this is called Moving from Marvelo 815.
Okay.
So I was thinking, does the island move? How does Echo's short-range plane, or it says plans, short-range plans, I assume it means planes, go from Africa to somewhere near Australia? Maybe the island is forever moving. Just a thought.
I think that's a fascinating thought, and I couldn't possibly answer that question, because if we were to reveal something so ginormous
in
as
a podcast,
the fact that the island was moving...
They would fire us.
They would fire us instantly. And also, yeah. It would be much cooler if we were to reveal something like that in the show.
Exactly.
But how does an island move?
Right. I mean, well, if you see them all, you know, put on helmets and goggles, you'll know the island is moving.
I will say this. If the island were on the back of a giant turtle, it might move.
That's true.
But I'm not saying it is.
Okay. Well,
I'm also not saying it isn't.
Fantastic.
Except for that it isn't. Hey, Carlton, Where Are the Doctors of the Others by Just Blaze 05. Hey, do you remember,
Carlton? Well, you know that, I mean, we know there's a golf course in the island, so
right.
That's where the doctors are.
That's where the doctors are. Hey, do you remember when Claire was in the hatch with Ethan,
yes.
where they wanted to operate on her? You
yes,
could
I
see
do.
Many doctors there. When the
no,
girlfriend...
Well, sorry.
Just,
sorry.
Let me finish.
Sorry.
Let
sorry.
Just Blaze 05
sorry.
Finish.
Sorry.
For God's
Apologize.
Sake, she's posted 379 times in the last 90 days. They
wow.
deserve to be heard.
Wow.
I assume it's a she, but it could be a guy.
If you're not, you're going to get like 300 emails explaining one way or the other.
When the girlfriend of Pickett passed away, they needed Jack. And now that we've seen, Ben now needs Jack. But where are the doctors now? I mean, if they want to operate on Claire, why can't they help the girlfriend of Pickett? You know what I mean?
Whew. Well, that's a lot. That was a lot to digest and keep in my memory. What was the question again?
The question is, don't the others have their own surgeons?
Well... We did see people who were wearing surgical scrubs, but to assume that those people were doctors is to, you know, make an assumption.
But the other thing is, if they were going to operate on Claire, for example, to do something to the baby, that doesn't
right.
necessarily mean they can take a tumor off of someone's spine.
Right.
I mean, that's you know, all doctors are not created equally.
That is absolutely true. And, in fact, we might come to learn at some point what happened to the... There might have been doctors, because obviously there are surgical facilities on this island, and, you know... It's a very fair question to ask what happened to the doctors, but I think it's also a fair question to ask, you know, well, what happened to the Dharma Initiative? And I think maybe some of these mythological questions need to be addressed in upcoming episodes whereby we can explain where have all the doctors gone.
All right. I guess you have time for one more and I have time for one more. We're
okay.
really on our game today, aren't we, Carlton? Whew. The Ricky Gervais podcast is awesome, by the way. You might wanna
check that one.
It's actually entertaining.
Black Smoke. Posted by Badge 8X.
Nice.
Hi.
Hey.
When will we find out more about the Black Smoke in Season 3? It reminds me of the alien in the abyss. Also, a bit late now, after listening to your podcast, I recognize the Stephen King book as Carrie. Can you confirm that? I actually have that book. My dad, who was a big Stephen King fan, left it to me along with other first editions. Great show. The best thing on UK TV, too. P.S. Is the Black Smoke made up of nanobots?
Oh, nanobots. Nanobots now. I don't know how many times you can go on record saying that the Black Smoke is not made up of nanobots before you stopped getting asked that question. But,
see, it says, only yeah. kidding, only kidding.
Oh, good. Excellent. You punked me.
You got punked by Badge 8X.
Yeah. No, I actually got punked by you.
I mean, did, but...
It was a delayed reaction there.
But I was doing it on behalf of Badge 8X. It worked.
Yeah.
It was Carrie. That is the correct answer.
It absolutely was
Stephen
Carrie.
King.
It was a rare cover of Carrie,
that's
so
right.
obviously you've done well by your father's...
He must have left you some very cool books, because that is a very hard one to find.
It is. And as for finding out more about the monster, obviously you've sort of seen him in action this week.
Are you wearing perfume?
I'm not.
Okay.
Are you?
Well, something smells kind of nice.
Maybe it's my natural pheromones. In any case.
Did I interrupt you?
I think so. Like, we were talking about the monster and suddenly you're coming on to me. I think I would qualify that as an interruption. In any case, we know more about the monster now. I mean, it's all mysterious, but the idea that the monster actually might be
able to... We know it can kill people by smashing them against trees.
Right, but we didn't know that before. We right. saw Greg Grunberg get pulled out of a cockpit and thrown into a tree, but right. we never saw it.
Right.
So that's kind of cool.
Right.
So we know that it's angry. It has right. a temper.
And we know that it could be a manifestation. It could manifest itself as people like Yemi.
We don't know that definitively. But I mean, if we were to say that to our bosses, for example, we'd probably be fired and beaten.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
Not necessarily in that order.
But if the audience were to make an assumption that that was the case, that might not be incorrect.
Yes, going back to your speech about assumptions earlier,
right.
I wouldn't want to make any assumptions because
well,
of
don't.
All the asses and you and me. Okay, I guess we've got time for one more question here, Carlton. I've got two
please.
Left here for you.
Please. Yes.
I think this is probably we talked a little bit about Nikki and Paolo earlier in terms of using them to divert. We'll probably be seeing a lot more of them in the future. So
I'd rather
ask
you, I like Nikki and Paolo.
I like them too. I
think but, you know, it's just been hard to... We haven't done a lot of stories on the beach yet, have we? Are we getting back to the beach?
Oh, boy, are we. I mean, all the characters that you know and love. Once you see next week's episode, you'll sort of fundamentally understand that we're going to be changing the game a little bit and sort of our time spent on Alcatraz will be... Over.
Coming to a conclusion. Yes.
Yes. And then we'll get back to sort of all the characters we know and love.
So those of you who have been waiting patiently for, you know, Claire and Charlie and Saeed and everyone else who's on the beach.
Your patience will be rewarded.
Thank you.
But my final question is this. By third base, 878. If Carlton and Damon is the subject heading, which characters would you guys be on the show? Also, which one of you has the fetish for Charles Dickens and Stephen King? My final question, will the survivors or the others ever return to the Black Rock? First off, I want to just clarify this fetish question. Carlton, it's not what you're thinking. It's not like it's not like you wear a top hat and Victorian clothes, and it's not that kind of fetish. I think it's more which one of you is an aficionado of Charles Dickens?
I would have to say that we both are. I mean, I think it's kind of a shared bond that an inspiration for us. I mean, one of the things that's interesting about Lost is there aren't a lot of television shows that like it, and the ones that are sort of cited as examples, kind of died much quicker deaths as we're now on our 60th hour. I mean, there were only 21 Twin Peaks. There were only 16 Prisoners. X-Files is a model in some sense, but that show had a franchise along with a... sort of science fiction mythology.
What I wouldn't do for a room with a file cabinet in it
exactly.
that gave us stories.
Exactly. So, in fact, really, our model in many ways have been other things, including Stephen King's book, The Stand, which we acknowledge as kind of a good model for how you can tell a long, sprawling, really compelling, character-based story. And Charles Dickens is also a great source of inspiration because here he was writing these great, wonderful, sprawling, serialized books.
Also, Dickens, the master of coincidence,
Yes.
His story is always hinged on the idea of,
the interconnectedness.
Connecting,
yeah.
and in a very strange and unexplicable
right.
way.
So we have to acknowledge our debt to both of these brilliant authors and do so in our show.
Absolutely. So, which character would you be on the show, Carlton?
Other than
Claire.
No, I was going to say I'm not going to choose Claire because I know that's going to be your choice. So Sawyer for me, definitely, just because he's a lot cooler than me, and I wish I could be as cool as Sawyer.
This isn't like who would you like to be. It's who do you think on the show is most like you? Which character would you be?
Well, Sawyer's I would want to be Sawyer.
Okay.
I mean, I would aspire to be Sawyer.
So if it's all about who you'd want to be.
What, I mean, don't we want to, reach for the stars? We don't want to basically,
sure.
you know.
Yeah, but just, now I feel like, you know.
Well,
if,
now I'm sorry that I spoiled the Claire thing for you,
yeah.
but go ahead and explain why.
Why I want to be Claire?
Yeah.
I think she's nurturing and she's sweet.
Right.
And she's
and you have a baby,
of,
too, so you
yeah,
can relate to
her. I now
it.
Have a newborn baby.
Right.
And also, I think she has pretty hair.
Yeah.
And I don't have any hair. So
you kind of aspire to have Claire's hair?
I think I would say to you, Carlton, is there a character on the show with prettier hair than Claire?
No.
Well, there you go.
I would definitely say she has the nicest hair.
And the Black Rock? Anybody? Are we coming back to the Black Rock?
Got to get back to the Black Rock. I mean, I think an entire season about Magnus Hanso.
By the way, the title of your third solo album, Back to the Black Rock, where you're standing on the cover, you're wearing the Indian headdress.
Yeah, this is the one where I have the duet with Bill Shatner. That's awesome.
It's a classic.
We did a version of Whip and Post that is so awesome.
Not on the album, oddly enough.
We're wrapping it up now.
Okay, so we have
Chris is holding his ears.
Yeah, for those of you who wonder how the podcast is produced, Chris White, our producer, sits and
makes faces at us when we've gone on too long or been particularly bad.
Occasionally, we think he's actually laughing at some of the things we were saying, leading us to believe we're funny. But in fact, last week he told us that he was just a little constipated. So now he's giving us the twirling finger. Telling us to wrap it up.
So we're going to do just
one more podcast to go after next week's episode. We'll be off the air.
Unless we do those Daybreak podcasts.
We are available, producers of Daybreak.
Thank you. To
comment on your show.
Well, thank you, and we will see you next week and look forward to hearing your thoughts about this week's episode. So please send in your questions.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
That wraps up this podcast, but don't fret. We'll be back soon for the Post I Do podcast, wrapping up things with executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse. They'll be rehashing the events in this upcoming episode, as well as previewing the second part of Season 3. So get your fan questions ready and submit them at lost.abc.com, where you can also view the episode for free the day after it airs. I Do airs Wednesday, November 8th from 9 to 10 p.m., only on ABC.
You're hearing the sound of America's most advanced assembly plant, but Honda and Toyota are only hearing footsteps. Because right here, Hyundai is building a better SUV. The all-new, feature-packed Santa Fe. With standard safety features like electronic stability control and 6 airbags. And the protection of America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. All for thousands less. The all-new, fuel-efficient Santa Fe. Only at Hyundai.
See dealer for limited warranty details. Safety belts should always be worn.